Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Tonight I want to talk a little bit. I want to speak to some of the wild horses in here. I'm going to... This meeting, I hope, will be rough on some of you here. And the reason I say I hope is because it should be. And to all that hear this tape, it should be kind of rough on them too. How many of you know the Lord causes growth through conflict? None of us like conflict, but conflict and change happen to be the way of life. Reproof and corrections, Proverbs calls it, is the way of life. It's the way of Zoe. It's the way of perfect energy and joy and fulfillment. And it's the way of life being lived every day. It's the pattern of life. It fulfills both in one. It fulfills all of our necessary need for joy and righteousness and having a right spirit and being healthy and vibrant and strong. Conflict I'm talking about. Reproof and correction. And it fulfills the path. It is the path that leads to eternal life. In case you haven't figured it out yet, you live in a world that's at war. You live in a universe that's at war. You live in a cosmos. The sum total of all existence, including everything that is seen and unseen. From here beyond the furthest galaxy that man can see, including the black hole and whatever that contains. In this hour is at war. The only existence and realm that is not at war is the kingdom. It's God's domain where he lives, where he exists. There's no war there. There exists only life and peace and light and unity and love and strength and vitality. And tremendous pressure. That's why nothing can enter God's realm that is not energized and under the pressure of and in and by God himself, his spirit. And we're given to know a little bit of that through the word being born again. You cannot enter, you cannot penetrate the kingdom realm. The realm of God that's under tremendous pressure and under a tremendous energy and light and love and truth that expels and prohibits anything that is not of truth and light and love to enter. It cannot enter. Darkness, which is the existence of 1 ounce of lie or deceit or sin or unrighteousness, cannot penetrate, cannot enter, cannot overcome, cannot comprehend the light. That's what it talks about in John chapter 1. In him is light. There is no darkness. No, not at all. But everything outside of his realm is at war and has been since the fall. And so, If you're not aware of it tonight, notify yourself that you live in a state of war. And that is the essence, that is the substance of all of your conflict. And the kingdom that exists in you or around you at times, it doesn't exist in you, it exists around you because you're so much at war and lost to the light and the truth and the energy of the gospel, the energy of Jesus, the energy of the Holy Ghost, that the only peace you find is in those who are in the peace of Christ. And then you get around them and they start talking to you and you start making your excuses and your justifications and your all of your ideas come out, and then after a little time goes by and all of those fall to the ground and they have no substance and no meaning and no weight and no authority and no bearing on love and faith, you begin to yield, and what happens? You come to peace. And all of a sudden the war that was in you is no longer at war in you, and you come to peace, you come to a resolve, and you have joy, and you have thanksgiving come, and you have brokenness follow, and you have a love begin to bubble up toward Jesus inside of you. That's about a 20 or 30 minute situation. Right? For some it takes a little longer. But that's the way it goes, right? And then you leave and you walk in that joy and you walk in that relative dimension of the kingdom, peace, for a while until the next selfish idea comes to you. Or until you're attacked again by something from outside you see, you hear, or a thought that drags you back into that realm of darkness. And then the process begins all over again. And it takes 2 days, 3 days, a week. Next thing you know, you're sitting down in front of the people of God again, giving your reasons and your excuses and your justifications, your answers and all your philosophies, until they fall to the ground. We sweep them up, throw them in the trash, flame them out, and you get broken, and you see, and you get the peace, and you have a little joy, and you're thankful, and you love Jesus again. And then you go back out. Right? Am I talking to the right people here? Now, the difference between the kingdom Christian is which one I just described. See, the church would say the kingdom Christian doesn't go through this because they're saved and filled with Holy Ghost and gloriously filled with righteousness, peace, and joy. And they walk above the dimension of conflict and war. They walk between the radioactive raindrops. But those are the people. Listen, you show me someone that doesn't have very much conflict either around them or in their life, I'll show you someone who is sold, pretty much sold out to the world system. Absence of conflict in this world is because you have become as this world. If you have truly the Spirit of Christ and are walking in a right spirit of judgment, you're going to have a hard time driving from here down to Costco listening to the radio without having conflict in your soul. You're going to have a hard time listening to the radio, watching television, getting involved in walking through the mall. You're going to have a hard time without having some conflict in your soul because of what you see the enemy doing to God's creation. And when you get to the place where you stop judging it and saying, well, I can't do anything about it anyway. Everything from the way young people act, talk, dress, to the way just your regular middle class, even upper class citizen is indifferent to everything around them but themselves, which rubs off on us. You know, anymore, the holiday spirit is something to be shunned, because there is no holiday spirit. I mean, you risk life and limb going shopping. You know, those of you that have never been to Hawaii and never lived there, you know, I really appreciate and am really awed at the courtesy in that culture. Now, if you live here in Montana, or Colorado, or Wyoming, or anywhere in the West, and New York, I mean, anywhere. I mean, I've driven all over the United States and Canada. I have never driven in such a courteous climate as Hawaii. There's 1.5 million people on a 38 square mile piece of rock. 1.5 million people. Which, that's no big deal. Because you could probably put 1 billion people, you could probably put more than you could probably put several billion people on that island, standing them toe to toe. But I've never experienced the courtesy that you'll find in Hawaii. You want in, all you got to do is put on your blinker. For the most part, whoever's behind you is going to let you in. You can put on your blinker and pull out your gun and point it, and they ain't letting you in. Here, they don't even know you're there. But the spirit-filled Christian who understands the kingdom of God and who understands the kingdoms of this world is in continual conflict with what he or she is involved with every day because of the works of darkness and how subtle but how openly blatant the works of darkness have become. We think of things, some of the things that go on today in our society in the way of crime. We had someone who bought some stolen goods a couple weeks ago. And because of how it was presented and because of the culture that they come from and because of the culture of the society and the culture and the spirit of this age, it was kind of not a big deal. If the same thing would have happened 50 years ago, both parties, if they found one, they found the other, both parties are going to jail. Think about that. So we called 911, we alerted the police department, Never heard that. Not a big deal. Van filled with stolen goods selling to people at the banks. Well, Friday night, where they get their checks. So now the peddlers of stolen goods hang out at the banks. Why not? That's where people get their money. And they pick the guys and the girls that are driving high-end vehicles, newer vehicles. I mean, they're smart. They're wise. And they're selling, pushing their stolen goods. This could never happen 50 years ago. Not only does it happen today as if they were selling Java coffee on the corner, or having a popcorn stand at Walmart, not only is it happening, but it's not even anything that the police respond to. Now, that's just one thing. That's sin, that's crime. It violates a lot of principles of love and faith. But that's not a big deal. And that's not really what I'm talking about when I say when you go from here to there during the day, the conflict that confronts you. Listening to radio, watching television. I'm talking about the spiritual forces at work in people's lives that every day turn them a little bit more toward ultimate darkness. I'm watching this series on creation. It's a great series. And he talks about how we're brainwashed. And he says, I'm going to brainwash all of you. So I'm going to do a little test right here. I'm going to do the same test he did. I'm going to brainwash you. Okay? You ready to be brainwashed? I'm telling you beforehand that I'm going to brainwash you. And there's not one of you here that are going to be able to prevent it. Okay, you ready to do this little test? You ready to be brainwashed? Put up your brainwash thing and say, I'm not being brainwashed. Okay? Everybody say this, I'm not being brainwashed. Okay, yes you are. Now, I'm going to just tell you a little story. Guy leaves home, turns left, jogs down, a jogger, he jogs, leaves home, turns left, jogs a little way, turns left again, jogs a little while, turns left again, and then goes home. And there's two masked men that meet him at the door. Who knows who these masked men are? Okay, we got one. Anybody else? Okay, I'll tell you one more time. Guy leaves home. Jogs. Down, little ways, jogs, turns left, jogs a little more, turns left again, jogs a little more, turns left again, and goes home. So he's gone full circle. And when he gets home, there's two masked men that greet him. Who are these masked men? Okay. You think you know John? Come here. Did you watch the video? Come here.
What is it?
How'd you know that? Huh? Yeah. Okay, go. I knew he didn't know it. Legitimately. Okay, you ready for this? You've all been brainwashed, every one of you, just as I was when I listened to it. The runner runs to first. He turns left, he runs to second. He turns left, he runs to third. He turns left and he goes home. And the catcher and the umpire greet him. And I didn't trick you. I said a jogger leaves home, right? If you're a baseball player and you're thinking baseball, it's simple. If you hit a home run or you walk, of course nobody walks
three bases.
Well, that's a simple little drill, isn't it? But do you see how we're... Now, why did we think that way? Because we assumed that home was where we dwell. So, our children grow up, and from age one, or from the first grade on, anything they read about creation or evolution, anything they read about dinosaurs, anything they read about the earth and the beginning of the earth, they all start off with what? Several million years ago. Okay? That's how most of the child... You can go down, go buy some books. Don't buy them. Go look at them. Go to the store. Go to Barnes and Nobles. Go and check out some children's books on history and prehistoric history and see what they say. And most of it starts off the first three words, several billion years ago. Several million years ago. Okay? What is that? They're being brainwashed. Because their first point of reference is several million years. Now, what was the devil's first word to Eve? Did God say? You know, I've said any minister of the gospel that's worth the salt is going to tell you that from the beginning to the end, the deception is the same. What is it? No? Change the word. Change the word. Satan changed the word. God says what he means and means what he says. From the beginning, the devil changed the word. Just a little. He didn't mean you die. He meant that your eyes would be opened. Was that true? No and yes. Or yes and no. No and yes. Yes, you would die. No, you were... No, he lied. You are going to die. And yes, your eyes would be open. So what do we have there? We've got a lie and a truth. It's always the way it is. Now, the only thing wrong with the little drill I gave you is what was the spirit of the story? Huh? Deception. The spirit of the story was deception. Right. The spirit of everything that's said, every word, I've said this once or twice. Every word that's spoken comes from a pool. Comes from a spirit. Every word that men speak, every word that comes to you in your thoughts, comes from a spirit. There are no words spoken that are spoken without a spirit. We have to discern the spirit behind the word. Satan comes and says he didn't mean this. He meant this. So from the beginning to the very end, the deception is in the word. So then, where we're going with this. We live in a war zone. Zone meaning area. We live in a state of war, meaning a time or a space of time of war. War has existed since before creation. We were birthed into what? Sin. Sin is the byproduct of war. Sin was found in Lucifer, who took on rebellion and lawlessness, created a war in heaven, created a whole nother heaven that before that didn't exist. God had to create a realm for Satan and his followers because now they were rebellious. And to keep heaven pure and to show the difference between good and evil, righteousness and the lie, he had to divide righteousness from the lie. He couldn't allow them to coexist. Light will not dwell with darkness. It cannot. It cannot, but it does enough. But it, now here's another oxymoron, or here's another dividing of truth. It says that darkness and light cannot coexist or not live together or not exist in the same place. Is that true? Yes. It's absolutely true. Is it true in us? It doesn't appear to be true in us. Why? Because we have the fallen nature. And because we still deceive at times. We still lie. We still fulfill selfish ambition and desire. Sometimes we don't see it even as sin. We don't even see it as selfishness. We're fulfilling something inside of us that we'd like to do. And later on as we go in this, and the reason we continue in is because we don't pray. We don't have a koinonia, communion going on in the Holy Ghost, or he would stop us immediately. Because his temple, which is what? Us, is about to be compromised with darkness because of our desire. Do we see that? So, but because we're not asking, and he is withdrawing, and in his withdrawn state, we start to feel a little bit different. We start doubting what we're doing. Oh, I just need that faith. See how we do? If you're a good Christian, well, if you're a good name it, claim it, faith professing Christian, you start having doubt, boy, you deal with that doubt. Boom, in the name of Jesus. Doubt be gone. And you start fortifying yourself mentally and proclaiming scriptures to yourself and to overcome your doubt, which, by the way, exists because the Holy Ghost is withdrawn. But if we were in communion and if our hearts were submissive and if Jesus were really Lord, his withdrawn state, which creates our doubt, would stop us, not fire us up. We get fired up when we need to stop, and we stop when we need to get fired up. We got it backwards. But that's the way we are. That's because of the dual nature. So, we live in a state of war. So we think. Now the question was, does light and darkness dwell together? We say, no, it cannot. Does it in us? We say, well, yeah. And the reason we say, well, yeah, is because we have light and do darkness. So we think that in us, light and darkness dwell together. That's where we're also blind. And really not well informed. Nor do we know the kingdom. The entrance of doubt in something that I am thinking of doing that creates an emotion of fear is light leaving and is darkness coming. Light and darkness does not dwell together in us. We are either light or we are darkness. Now this is going to be tough for you to reason this if you have a real strong Pentecostal, even a charismatic philosophy that basically thinks that if you're born again, you're light. If you're filled with the Spirit, speaking other tongues, you're light. The scripture says, being filled. You are filled many times. You are baptized once. You are baptized with the Holy Ghost once. You check it out. It's in Ephesians. You are filled with the Holy Ghost many times. You see what I'm saying? Now, when, and here's also, we have to understand, well, kind of look at it like this. When the light switch is off, we have darkness. That, when the light switch goes on, we have light. If I'm walking in lust, the Lord would say, what would he say? Am I walking in light or dark? I'm walking in darkness. He sees me at that point as being in darkness. Now, I am not totally lost in darkness. I have a consciousness of the Lord. I have a DNA of Jesus in my spirit. Do you see what I'm saying? I'm not saying that you are totally without the Spirit when you're walking in darkness. I'm not saying that. I'm saying, but my energy, my faith, my active soul and spiritual position at that time is